brought something that's a little lighthearted, and many of you who are in my generation before will certainly know this song. And one of the reasons I thought it would be good is that I can help you create an earworm. And an earworm musically means you get a tune stuck in your head. And it will be your mantra all day. So it's such a simple song. It's a very sweet song, and really just for the purpose of just a little message to stay with you. Bright sunny day. It's gonna be a bright shiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Be a bright shiny day. It's gonna be a bright shiny day. Look around, there's nothing but blue skies. Look straight ahead, there's nothing but blue skies. Bright shiny day. It's gonna be a bright shiny day. It's gonna be a bright shiny day.
We don't have to turn on the weather station. We already know. We already know, and Bonnie, thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're already claiming it. That's wonderful. And now it's time for our speaker, and it's our very own Reverend Connie Beth Grady.
Oh, my goodness.
You haven't heard it yet. You know, something very strange happened this morning. Well, after I got here, I didn't see Bonnie, and I began to just worry a little bit because I had some phone calls of people who couldn't make it today, and I thought, it's kind of a strange day. The ball game's on today. It's going to rain today. Maybe Bonnie's not coming today. So I went back to the back, and I told Scott, I said, in case Bonnie's not coming today, in case she doesn't get here in time, would you download the song On a Clear Day? It's not the same one, but the same theme. So, you know, we're well guided when we don't even know we're guided. But today I would like to talk to you about prayer. Prayer can be wonderful, and prayer can be almost like nightmarish. You know, one of the first prayers I ever remember, I was taught by my parents every night, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." I was frightened every night I said that. Sometimes we don't realize what we're teaching our children. I was horrified, probably until I became a metaphysician, over that. And then I would go to my aunt's church and a few other churches, and they would be praying long lists of prayers for everybody. And I know when I wasn't there, my name was probably at the top of the list. But, you know, I want this person to do this, want God to do this for this person, want God to take this away from this, maybe it's alcoholism, maybe it's this or that or the other, anything that was objective to them that they didn't like about their friends and family, they wanted God to take it away. And I always ran away from those kind of things. And listening about prayer, I also got the thought of mantras, Bonnie. So thank you for this. Prayer can also be beautiful. And mantras are a wonderful thing because it gets us there when we don't even know we need to be there, right? Because it's going. I was thinking of the rosary prayer beads. I'm not Catholic. And you know, I've always, always, always been a junker. I've always gone to these old rock shops and these old vintage shops. And I've got little short rosary beads that are antique, that somebody was just in a drawer, that are broken. And I always felt love on those rosary beads. And I wanted them and I collected them for a while. And I realized, I was thinking this morning, you know, if you have a problem and that repeating and repeating and repeating, I've never done it, but I imagine by the time you get through that prayer, that problem is gone. You've recycled it into something else. And also, in becoming metaphysical, I was taught that life is a prayer, good or bad. Everything we emanate is a prayer. So sometimes we're praying for not so good things when we're in a bad mood, or sometimes we're thinking about wonderful things. But in looking back at the beginning of our life, whether we knew it or not, I think each and one of us prayed earnestly with our mind and our heart, because most of us had discontents in some way that was bigger than us, that was bigger than our parents, or maybe we couldn't tell our parents. So we would pray, "Dear God, help us." Or sometimes I prayed, "Dear God or anybody else, please help me. I've got this problem. Please, God and everybody else, I'm in this place I don't want to be physically. How did I get here? What's the answer?" Well, in reality, the greatest thing in looking back on things as you age, you realize everything has a purpose. And it's my discontents that made me pray out of the box to get out of the situation. And when we pray earnestly with our heart, I don't care what religion you are, eventually things change. They might not change as fast as you would like for the end result. But I tell you, friends will come into your life. Situations will change where you're living in a more harmonious, balanced life at some time during that time that you're praying to escape from. I also have learned that when the very things that I ran from, when I learned to pray through them and look at them in a more balanced, because when you use your heart, it corrects the thinking in your mind. When you use your mind first, it usually never even gets to your heart, because we're up here in that craziness of the world. But when you use your heart, it corrects some of the thinking in your mind. And when you eventually walk through some of these things, it's the very discontents that lead you to your blessings. But how do we get there from step A to step B? First of all, when we were discontent, and I have to use my life as an example and a few friends. I don't know a lot of people here, but I know lots of people where I left from. And that is, we were so discontented because if God were so good, how did we become so discontented? And what happened to us? And it's not fair, God. But out of that story, we realize eventually that we believed in a better God than what we were being told. We believed somehow there had to be a better way and a better God somewhere else because we can't live in the way people are trying to fit us in this mold and box. I do believe that probably all metaphysicians here are here because you didn't fit in the box of the rest of your family or some scenario, because you would have stayed there. You would have stayed there if you had gotten the answers. So in reality, some of us were out eating the other night, and we were talking about how you weren't worthy as a child. No, you're not, because you have to be saved first. You have to be accountable first. And I can remember when I would hear things like, we're born into sin, and we have to be something prayed out of it or do something to get out of that. And I remember the very first question I wanted to know is, I heard there's an age of accountability. Do you remember that? Age of accountability. I wanted to know what that age was. The age of accountability, when if before this age you weren't accountable for the negative things. After this age, you're responsible all the way through. And holy knows, if you would die before you wake, you're not going to the good place after that age of accountability. In reality, we have a God in our heart, our own heart. We have a God of peace, a God of light, a God of understanding, a God in a divine essence that says, you're all right, just the way you are. You're all right because you were created in beauty. There's something that kept you going. Or you would have fit that box and you would have stayed and you would have been content and you would still be there. But through your praying of an answer and through the families we were born in or landed in, gave us the opportunity to grow into something greater. If nothing else, it allowed us to know what we didn't want to be like. If nothing else, it allowed us to have compassion and loving for everyone around us. You see, there's one thing that I used to hear in this song when I was a good old Methodist. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, that great hymn, guide me to the promised land. That promised land isn't out there. That promised land is in here. It's learning to be content with yourself. It's learning to be at peace, knowing that your ideas are the correct ideas for you. God made you in beauty the way you are, not to change everything about you into a mold that somebody in control says you're supposed to be. We all have free will. But when you try to go against who you are, life will never work out. because you're trying to be something you're not. But does that mean that God has no favor for you? No. It's time for you to live in that greatness and that peace that you were designed to have. It's time for us to all to live in that greatness and that peace and realizing everything is a prayer. Life can be a prayer. We can express ourselves in art, in music. Some people, Mona loves to express herself in house cleaning. Wish I had that expression. I would like that. But you know, we're all made differently. And when we follow that heart's desire, then that's when life starts working for us. I wrote something down that was just marvelous, but I left it there, I guess. Something about heart. I can tell you what it's meant. When you live with your heart will never let you down. I didn't make this up. I just had read it just before I came out, and I wrote it down. And when you live with your heart, it changes your whole entire life. I can tell you, years ago, I told some of the people the other day that I was going to do something that I just had my head I should do. And my master teacher came out and said, you go ahead, you've got free will. But if you want to be happy, you need to open your heart and close your mind. Because your head doesn't always know what you need. Your heart knows. That's where love lives. That's where inspiration lives. That's where that communication that allows us to know that we have that divine essence that lives in our heart. I don't have to go to my neighbor's heart. The only place I can find it is within my heart. That divine essence is marvelous. But guess what? That divine essence in you is just as marvelous. No one gets a greater supply than someone else. It's just learning that you're good enough to find it. You're good enough to love that heart center and allow it to love you back. To realize that that heart center first wants to love you up and allow you to feel the greatness of who you are first. So you can learn to love everyone around you, realizing and respecting they have that same greatness and that divine essence within them. Some people don't realize that yet. That's okay. Because there will be a time for everyone in God's time to awaken. It's okay. We don't have to go out and get the masses. Because the masses awaken in God's time. But for those of us who know and feel and love and desire for peace and contentment and to allow us to grow in that divine plan that we came with. It's so wonderful to learn and worship and experience the connectedness of our God selves. God bless you all.